for a skirt.
Did any of you guys get to go to a career day today at CE?
No.
I went and it was, I enjoyed it. It was
a what?
Career day at CE. It was very enjoyable. I got to reminisce with some of the kindergarten kids too. They were, you know, all the little. I said, man, do I wish I was one of those guys right now.
Were they so cute?
Yes, they were.
They are.
Okay, we ready, guys? Tony, is it on?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, I call this meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today is May 5th, 2011, Cinco de Mayo. The time is 6:08 p.m. Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Casares?
Here.
Mr. Cornejo?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
All right. With the board's consent, I'd like to see if we could take up the agenda items on item 3B and C before we get to the other agenda items. Is that okay with the board? All right, hearing no dissent, we will proceed to agenda item 3B. Tony?
Item 3B, consider district affiliate agreement with Ambrosio Guillen, Texas State Veterans Home, Ms. Araujo.
Good morning, good afternoon, Ms. Araujo. Evening. You can tell where my mind's at. All right.
Good evening, Mr. Board President, Coronado, and Governors, and Dr. Lefebvre. My name is Felicia, CT coordinator for Canutillo High School. And the reason I'm here is because I need your consent approval of this contract. Unfortunately, for an after 13 years, if I'm not mistaken, it's been 18 years exactly that we've been working contract with Mountain View. But because dads came in and they're not complying with the state compliance, it's preferred that our students not be there working on rotation and doing their internship for certification purposes. So our teachers, Ms. Julie Bennington and Robin Wise, went searching around, and this nursing home is willing to accept their students at this time of the year because we have about exactly approximately 23 students that we need to get them certified before graduating. Some of them happen to be seniors. So we need to get their CNS certification. So this is why it's so important that we get this approval by you all in order for our students to continue pursuing their certification for the CNS certification. And we intend to keep this nursing home for our next year.
Through the chair.
Dr.
Three items. First of all, you understated, Ms. Araujo, the state is refusing to let us go back. We have no choice but to leave Mountain View.
Yes, sir.
At this time, it was not a
voluntary. It's not because of our students or, but right. It's because of them, and they've had changes of administration, and so that's the reason.
Secondly, you did state the timeliness of this. We do have seniors that have to complete in the next 3.5 weeks. To do that, I did work with Larry Baskin, and we did sign like a temporary agreement so we could get to this board meeting. And I did alert you of that I didn't have to go ahead and sign that. It's kind of unorthodox for me to sign before coming to the board, but we had to get the services. Then thirdly, the teachers are actually very pleased with this change. They think it's a better place for our kids, and they're excited about it. So this is actually a good thing as far as our program is concerned.
All right. Any questions from the board? No, so Larry's already looked at the contract and.
Yes, and he did offer revisions.
Yes.
To it.
Okay.
I have a question, sir.
Patsy.
Do the students have to travel further than they did with Mountain View?
Yes, but we have through state funding and everything. Our students are going to have to, instead of crossing over the fence line because that's a little bit dangerous, they're going to have to go around the mountain because this is in the northeast area. We're also looking into other nursing homes for the future so we can disseminate, be able to have them and then have other nursing homes for our certifications.
have a question.
Patty.
This is effective immediately?
Yes. It's because we're running out of time to give up to these students. I mean, we found out about this like in late February, and so the teachers have been looking, searching for affiliations, and so we found this hospital, this nursing home, to take us in right away due to the fact that we're running out of time because these students need to get certified, especially our concerns are seniors.
Okay.
So this, if it's approved tonight, it'll be effective like tomorrow?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Just waiting. I mean, the teacher will be calling me tomorrow anxiously for you, for your approval.
Okay. Anybody else? No?
No, I was just going to make the motion.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the District Affiliate Agreement with Rocio Guillen, Texas State Veterans Home.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 3B to approve the affiliate agreement with Ambrosio Guillen, Texas State Veterans Home. All right, any further discussion or comments from the board? No? All right, Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, agenda item 3C, Tony.
Item 3C.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms.
Arau. Item 3C is discussion and possible action regarding changing date of June 14th, 2011 regular Board of Trustees meeting and discussion of Board of Trustees June calendar. Dr. Murphy.
President Coronado, board members, audience members, we wanted to talk for a minute about our June calendar, which is quite crowded. And also due to the election situation, everything's kind of pushed a little bit, and it's going to continue at least through June to continue to be pushed. Our goal is that in July to really get back to a normal schedule. But do they have all in front of them the June calendar? If everyone could, if we could get copies of it. Basically, the first thing that we need to talk about is that at our last board meeting, we extended the contract with Hunt Communities regarding the due diligence timeline to June 15th. Unfortunately, we have board members and also myself, it turns out, I have a conflict, and as do other board members, during that week of the 15th. Yesterday we did meet with Hunt in an approved meeting. Larry Baskin was there, and Justin Chapman informed us that if we needed to push it a little bit more, it was no big deal. He was totally fine with it. And so what we'd like to do is come at the May 19th board meeting with an agenda item to extend the deadline one more time to a date that we would need to pick, July 1st or something like that. The thought would be, due to the conflicts that week, that we would move the regularly scheduled June board meeting, which is currently scheduled for the 14th, to the 22nd of May. And that week would be the week of the board meeting, that Wednesday night. And I'd entertain a discussion on that if any board members wanted to talk about that specific move.
Can you say that again, sir?
We would move the currently scheduled June 14th board meeting to Wednesday, June 22nd. And the corollary to that is that at the May 19th board meeting, we would extend the Hunt due diligence timeline to at least July 1st, if not even further than that. As it turned out, Mr. Chapman was extremely flexible regarding that date.
When are we scheduling the June meeting? Will it be the 21st?
22nd. Mr. Baskin cannot be there on the 21st, but he can be there on the 22nd.
Do we need a motion or just a...
I'm fine with the date. I don't know if the rest of the board, I don't see a problem.
And there is, you're correct, Mr. Rodriguez, there is an item on the agenda for action regarding that. So if you...
I'll just make a motion so that way to change the June 14th meeting to the June 22nd.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 3C to move the current monthly board meeting date of June 14, 2011 to June 22, 2011. Any further discussion, comments from the board on this item?
I have a comment.
Yes.
We can't have it that day because Ms. Brigham is not going to be here.
She'll be. When she comes back, we'll make her have to do the hula dance.
She's going
to
be in.
Should we schedule that trip?
She's going to be in there. With a hula hoop in the Irish Isles, is it? All right. Okay, any further discussion?
Thank
guys,
you.
No? All right. Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
Thank you, Board. Furthermore, as I wrote in Eagle Notes, was it Eagle Notes?
Yes.
In Eagle Notes yesterday, there is a desire from our business services department, and Martha could not be with us this evening, but she does have staff here, to have a budget review meeting on Monday, June 6th, which would be a budget review that would not only show the closeout of 2010-11, but also would show the startup and the budget for 2011-12. She'll be comprehensively ready, and we would deliver the documents to you much earlier on a very good timeline for the board. And furthermore, on the 6th, if it is available, we will not have had a finance committee meeting in the month of May, and we would offer, and totally up to the board, to hold that finance committee meeting on the 6th as well, prior to the workshop to go over the budget update.
Mr. Chairman, when are we scheduling the legal counsel interviews?
We would decide, we're going to decide that. You know, it's on the board and that we could probably discuss it tonight.
That's what I was saying. I think, I don't know if anybody has a problem with just putting it on the 1st. Unless you all want to put it in May.
June 1st, you're talking about?
Unless we put it in May. But May is going to be...
Yeah.
When's the May meeting?
May 19th.
It'd have to be after that.
May 19th is when we're going to formally approve the questions and set it officially in motion.
We could do the 25th or the 1st, whatever y'all desire.
Board?
It's on a Wednesday, or we could do it Tuesday. I mean, I'm just...
I like Wednesday's good for
Wednesday's
me.
Wednesday's
is Wednesday better?
Mm-hmm. Y'all don't want to do
the
it...
The 25th or the 1st?
Or June? You all want to do it in June?
I think June 1st? June 1st would... We wouldn't feel so hurried.
Okay.
Okay.
I think... Mm-hmm.
The right. Only thing I'd note is that June 2nd is the last day of school, so I don't think that bothers anyone, but it's no big deal. June 1st is fine for administration.
All right.
And so what I'm hearing is where it says June 2nd possible finance committee, that would go to the 6th and precede the budget. Uh-huh. That's fine with me. And then we'd meet on Wednesday the 1st for... Some sort of beginning or
interviews.
Interview the people?
The four candidates.
Okay.
Y'all want to do that then June 1st?
Sure.
The other thing is we're going to have the facility finances second, right?
No. No, on the 6th is what he said.
Oh, yeah, because we moved the board all the way to the 22nd. Got it.
Now, on the 1st, if we did the legal interviews, can we at all start early? We think the way Ms. Hidalgo and I have looked at it, and we met today for over an hour about everything, you're going to probably want 45 minutes for each person, each candidate, and there's four of them. So if you start at 6, you're automatically till 10 o'clock before you even start deliberating.
We could do a 15-minute.
Guys,
15 to 30 minutes.
We've actually, in the past, I think it was 30 minutes, but 45 minutes could be.
There's 9 questions that we have right now to
for you to consider. Those down.
We've trimmed. I mean, feel free.
Yeah.
But we think they're pretty strong.
Well,
okay.
Do we need to break it up?
We could split them up.
Yeah.
Two and two.
And that way it's not hard on anybody.
Yeah, because
take our time.
The questions are confidential.
The guy who goes last. Mm. So?
You mean two on one day and two on another day?
That's what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably best to.
Then we should start earlier.
It's kind of best to do it, you know,
all
that way.
Do you want to? Can we start earlier?
I could probably get our, unless there's court for. Can everybody else?
I can start earlier.
How early?
5? 4?
4?
4?
4?
Going once?
4:30?
4?
4?
4?
4?
4?
Final.
4 is good. 4
says 4.
4. 4.
Okay, I'll take a look at my calendar. I don't see any problem, but if I have the only thing I could foresee, and I don't have my calendar, if I have a trial that day or the day before that runs into them, then I'll I need my.
Sorry.
All right. So tentatively 4 p.m. I'm going to say the first for all 4 legal interviews.
Yes.
Okay.
June 1st.
Then June 6th.
Have the copyright.
June 6th, a board budget update along with the finance committee, and then the board meeting on June 22nd. Now, Armando, you mentioned the other committee, which is the facilities?
It's finance facilities.
Okay, finance, okay, that's the same one. What about the other one? Do we need to meet in June or can we wait till July?
I don't think we need to meet on that one.
For finance facility?
No, the other.
No, the other committee.
I don't know. That's
policy.
That's not my committee.
What?
Well, only if everybody has to be fired.
Oh, you know what? We do.
What?
Have to meet. Well, it's your committee if
what?
You want to meet. But
tell me
I think we need to look at the students at the high school. Actually, it should be before.
Tell me what you want.
It should be in May.
Then we have to have it before.
Yeah, we do.
What did they do, Armando?
No, just to look at the overall.
Yeah, you've been wanting that.
Yeah.
I need somebody to. Yeah, we need that. When do you want it? Just say it.
In May?
He wants to.
That's for Murphy, May.
Okay.
May 7th.
Next week?
That's like tomorrow.
Let me see. We could do that the 25th.
You could see the 25th.
No, that's my, no.
Well, I'm saying,
that's the 25th.
That's too far.
The 18th?
The meeting?
You think it's coming in too close?
No, we could do that. No, but that's the 19th. We have a.
What are we going to be talking about?
About the 10th.
The graduation class.
Do we really want to talk about the graduation class before? Because this is what happened last year. Last year, and I had a call from Jim Fry about this morning. He's concerned, you know, and on May 19th, everything, or 18th, everything is still very much in flux. And last year, you'll remember, we actually had some confidential information get out about certain students.
Who gave that out?
Remember the 17 kids?
Don't give us names.
Tell me, okay. Whatever y'all want to do, I just know that Mr. Fry is really hesitant about that.
Well, just tear it up with them.
The 10th?
The 10th?
Uh-huh.
The next week?
Yeah, it's next Tuesday.
I'm in D.C.
Oh, you are.
Sorry. Excuse me. I'll wait.
Sport on.
When do you come home?
I come back Monday. We could do on that Monday, too.
Monday the 16th?
The 16th.
You come home?
The day after the election.
No, the 14th is
Monday after the election. Yeah.
That might be better.
How about that Tuesday?
The 17th?
Mm-hmm. I'm getting for that week.
Let's do it on the 20th.
Just kidding.
Can we get closer to graduation?
Yeah, okay.
That's close. The 17th is close.
That's an eternity.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we need to talk about it. And then we can have another one, maybe. Or you can just give us the update. That way we would have hashed it all out, shoot it up.
We'll have a final update after.
Don't give us names. We're not
just numbers. Circumstances, no names.
Circumstances.
I don't know.
What can you tell us? What?
And what if they
want? Well, okay. Can you just? They want. You said.
Well, here's how the phone call went this morning. I talked to Mr. Fry because he had identified 46 seniors very much at risk to walk the stage. This was like 2 weeks ago, I want to say. So I called him this morning and I said, "Okay, Jim, where are we on that?" And to be honest with you, first of all, he had no idea how much of the 46. So he said, "I'll have to go find out." About 3 hours later, he called me back and he said, "Look, it's these kids that are taking these final courses and waiting for their report card grades. We don't really know right now exactly from this 46. I do know that about 10 of those kids have come off, but it's still in the 30s. And so when you come on the 17th, he's going to have basically that same type of talk. He's not going to have super specific information."
And I'm not looking at super specific. Well, I'm looking for the specific information, but I'm not necessarily looking for the end result. I'm looking at the progress of that. And I think what we need to look at is when the tax, they just took it, right? When is
right. The tax scores will not be back in until the week of the 23rd, toward the end, like the 26th or the 27th.
That's probably a better time to do it then, right after the tax come in.
So that way we know how many of those students might pass.
Okay.
What do you all say?
So we move it to the 24th?
Ms. Brigham? When will tax scores be in?
We anticipate them on a course on a Saturday. Probably the 21st. We usually get them expected them like that night. So we're looking at, but they're not due out officially, they say, until the 24th, but we usually get them the weekend before.
So if we could wait till at least the 24th, if not the 25th or 26th.
Okay.
I'm
you know, then you're right. Then I totally get it. Because now we can share the tax scores district wide, not just with the seniors.
All right. How about the 24th, guys? Is that okay? May 24th?
That gives them a day to go through them.
We'll be going through them all weekend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When we get them on.
We'll have the for sure breakdown as far as attendance, credits, whatever.
As far as the seniors?
Yes.
Everything.
I mean, we don't need names, but what bracket, how many kids are falling to
this? We'll do the very best we can. It still is going to be in flux because, like, if on the 24th I say there's 17, like last year, by the time June 3rd rolls around, it might only be 10 because they're still working on it. Also, everything is also contingent on the 6 weeks final grade. So you very well have kids sitting in class that are totally fine, completely cool, and then the last 6 weeks grade comes in and they fail it, and now they're not going to walk the stage.
What we need is a snapshot right
then. What is right then? All right, I can do that. On the 24th?
Yeah.
Okay, one other thing. The 24th is the day that we have set aside for the employee recognition event, the ERE, at the high school. 24th? We're already making plans for that. We could do it the 25th.
I can't. Some kind of employee recognition. Isn't that during the day, the employee recognition?
No,
it's at 9. How about the 23rd, then?
Monday? We can do Monday. What's on Monday?
It's just really pushing to get graphs and PowerPoint and everything ready for the board for the tax scores to have it on Monday.
Yeah, they get them on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. What about get all the, as long as we have a Excel on the tax, then that's fine, but get all the other stuff.
Later in that week, 25th or 26th is bad?
Because all we're looking at, actually, all we're looking at is 46 students and who passed, and so.
You wouldn't want the whole tax scores?
No, just the senior, snapshot, the graduating class.
You just asked for the whole tax scores.
For the purposes?
No, just the seniors.
For seniors.
Okay, let's just grab our seniors.
That's.
Okay, 23rd. And if I can get the tax together, I'll try to get something.
Yeah.
We'll know something.
23rd.
My concern would be is if I came on the 23rd in the evening and told you something that wasn't correct, because then during the week, as we further disaggregated, we would discover that it wouldn't be correct. That happens sometimes. But we can certainly do the senior snapshot on the 23rd.
Okay. Is that fine? Mm-hmm. Everybody? Okay, 23rd it is. And you know what?
And then that's going to give you two nights in a row, because you'll have a board meeting on Monday and the ERE on Tuesday.
Does anybody know when the graduation for the EPCC students from Neches and graduate?
Yeah, I have an invitation on my desk. I can certainly put that in the Friday packet. Ms. Blaze, do we know?
Yes, I'll go get it.
It'd be great to recognize these kids. These mm-hmm. kids are going to graduate this year, and they still need a whole another year of high school. They're going to graduate from EPCC with an associate's degree.
3-year graduate?
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Murphy was supposed to give us a progress too on some students.
On which students?
Like some information that we got from the high school, and you were supposed to do the same thing with Natchez. Wasn't that the same report?
Oh, we were going to talk about the high school attendance and truancy report.
Some report, and we never got
right. It's ready to go. It's on my desk. I can put it on the May 19th board meeting.
It was supposed to be on the Friday packet.
I can put it in the Friday packet. I actually received it this week.
For Natchez?
No, for the high school attendance and truancy. Remember, they gave us the middle school, and we didn't have the high school. Uh-huh. May, or?
It was supposed to be Natchez too, Dr. Murphy.
Okay, I'll get Natchez.
And Dr. Murphy, on those same lines, I had asked you for the ACT-SAT
right, that's,
rates. And separate them to Natchez High School.
That was what that whole conversation was this morning with Mr. Fry. I'll have that all ready for you in the Eagle Notes next week, on Wednesday next week.
And all that's going to be on the graduation.
And then we'll also repeat it on the 23rd at the special board meeting on the senior snapshot. The EPCC graduation is Friday the 13th. We could recognize them as the May 19th board meeting.
That would be...
That's the 3-year graduates?
Yes.
We also
wish we could do it beforehand.
How many are 3-year graduates?
I don't know. But
there's like 10 of them.
What about
and it's not, they're not 3-year graduates. They haven't graduated from high school yet.
No, they're EPCC graduates, associate's degree graduates. And they still have a year of high school left to complete.
About 10 of them. El Paso is the same situation.
What about the top 10?
Wouldn't that be in June? Because they're not going to have class rank fully until the 6 weeks grade come out.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we got a full 2 months.
Yeah.
The Neches associate graduates will be in on the 19th. We'll recognize them. So the calendars I see it so far is the 13th is the EPCC graduation. The 19th is our regular board meeting with Neches Association, with the associate degree graduates being recognized along with whoever else we have. On the 23rd, we have a special board meeting for the senior snapshot. On the 24th, we have the employee recognition event. Then going to June, we have June 6th with a board meeting for a budget update and the finance committee preceding the budget update. And on the 22nd, we have the regular June board meeting. June 1st being the legal interviews, I apologize, starting at 4 p.m.
Right.
Busy bees.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be really busy. Of course, our election day, May 14th.
And Dr. Murphy, please don't forget, we need to see the due diligence, like, not the night that we're going to decide on it.
Okay, let's talk about that. Ernesto?
Yes, sir.
Come on up here, Ernesto. Talk to us about the due diligence timeline and when the board should be looking at this. Okay, we are right here. When can we get to the board materials to view and look at? Didn't we want to do something on the 19th?
The 19th, yes.
The due diligence will be completed by the 19th?
By the 19th, yes.
Okay, so we'll make it an agenda item at the regular board meeting at the 19th.
The May 19th? Okay, I thought you...
At the regular board meeting, so we will have it all well in advance of the 19th then?
What if we combine that on with the senior snapshot on the 23rd?
That's a committee meeting. You can't combine that.
That's a committee meeting?
But you could have a board meeting after.
Yeah.
Or before.
Oh, it's the, okay, Tony, make sure the 23rd senior snapshot is a committee meeting.
Yes, the instruction committee. Mm-hmm.
And then a board meeting also on the 23rd to talk about the due diligence. With you receiving it no later than the 19th?
Yep.
Or do you need it sooner than
sooner
that?
Sooner than that.
Okay, when can you complete the due diligence?
I believe that we might have something for the 17th. From the engineer, we're only missing one item, and that's from the environmental.
Then could we see what you have?
Oh, sure.
On, you know, like this, like in the Friday packet, and when you get the environmental, you add to it, add that.
Oh yeah.
Well, but wait a minute, hold on. Wait a minute. What day are we meeting with everyone? Ms. Searles, we have a large internal committee meeting on the morning of the 16th. So if we could get you everything on the 17th.
And the internal meeting is for?
It's like we did yesterday. Justin Chapman, Larry Baskin, myself, the engineer, the architect, Ernesto, as we move along this timeline that we're working on regarding due diligence. And I would rather get to the 16th and have that meeting before we gave you any documents. So
okay.
If we gave it to you on the 17th, that's almost a full week prior to the 23rd meeting.
Okay.
We would have. Also, I'm glad you brought this up, Ms. Searles. On the 23rd, when we have the board meeting to discuss this, we will have a panel of experts here to talk. We'll have the architect. We'll have the contractor here to discuss all of this with you.
Okay.
And are we going to have enough time? I mean, I don't really know. I'm going to look down at Letty and Monica and Armando on the senior snapshot. How long do you think that's going to take us?
And that was my question right now. What we were discussing right now. Should we just make it a special meeting and all of us be here?
Yeah.
Do you want public input? Do we just go straight?
Well, we could open it. We could wait if we do need to.
I mean, we could just put it as a special meeting and do it as a home.
Do it as an agenda item.
Yeah.
But is it so lengthy? Is
no.
What we want to hear about that so lengthy
no.
that it'll take?
Well, it needs to have, I mean, it has to be detailed, but it doesn't have to be lengthy.
We're talking about the discussion.
When we look at hard numbers.
That's
well, I mean, we don't know until we see findings.
Well, I don't think it'll take us longer than an hour to discuss the 40-some graphics.
Okay.
And
I see you
okay.
A special
I mean,
board.
I think the special board meeting will probably suffice.
Let's do the special board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Instead.
Okay.
Instead of a committee meeting and a special board.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Ernesto. I appreciate it. So let me, please pardon me, let me go back through it, because I also want to add a couple things. Tomorrow we have breakfast with the president at Speedy's starting at 7:30. And President, thank you for donating your time.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
After Election Day, we have on the 17th, we will deliver to the board members special delivery the due diligence materials as we have them at that point. On the 19th, we will have our regular board meeting where we will not talk about due diligence. Won't be on there. Instead, we'll do a regular board meeting and the Neches Associates, the associate graduates will be recognized. Please put on your calendar on Saturday the 21st. We have Arts in the Hearts from 10 to 2, as I've mentioned in several, or at least a couple items, notes to you. 10 to 2, every campus will be at the high school presenting visual, theatrical, and musical works from them.
Dr. Murphy, also on the 19th, we ask for an extension from the Hunt Corporation.
Extension on 19th.
What was that again on the Arts in the Hearts? What date?
It's on Saturday the 21st from 10 to 2 at the high school. Every campus will be recognized.
Thank you.
Then on Monday the 23rd, we'll have a special board meeting with two main topics, the senior snapshot and the due diligence situation and the whole situation regarding the Hunt property. And we will have a panel of experts there for that. On the 24th, we have the employee recognition event at the high school at 7 p.m. June 1st, starting at 4 p.m., the legal interviews. June 6th, a budget update and a finance committee, a special board meeting budget update and a finance committee preceding that. And then on the 22nd, we have our regular June board meeting. A couple other notes. Remember that on Monday, the 9th, this coming Monday, is No Place for Hate Day here in Kenyatta ISD. We have representative from the regional office out of Houston coming to give us our awards. We have an assembly at 9:30 in the morning at the high school. We'd love to have anyone that can come. We also are having a senior activity here at Central Office in the test kitchen. At 2 p.m. on the 9th, there is a assembly at Garcia Elementary regarding No Place for Hate. And then at 6 p.m. also in the test kitchen, we're having awards for the top 10 students at each campus regarding leadership in No Place for Hate this year.
Dr. Murphy,
that's about it.
Could I ask a favor if Tony could put in the Friday packet
full May, June
calendar. Nice, a big one like this that we could see real easily for the May and the June, and maybe a little color-coded or something.
One other thing that on May 17th, there is a function at the high school where there will be a talent competition between all the county early college high schools here at our
I didn't know.
Yeah. So, hosted.
Tony, can you make a note? I want to check into that.
So you hosted want us to by Neches.
No, I'm just mentioning for your.
When was that?
May 17th at the high school auditorium.
Competition of all the early colleges.
Okay.
Also, if I might, since we're talking about it, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock after the breakfast with the president, BCE is dedicating a No Place for Hate anti-bullying plaza with all the students' handprints and artwork at BCE. We're going to have media there at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at BCE if anyone can make it out to that.
Okay.
I'll be there. Staff, am I missing anything? Continuing on Ms. Searle's point, I think the one other thing, since we're talking about it, if we do the due diligence board meeting on the 23rd, and we're not here the week of the 13th, that's a bad week What would be the thought of the board regarding extending? What would be a day that you'd want to come back, maybe at the end of June, to, or would there, or Ms. Searles or President, would there be any desire to have an intermediate meeting regarding the Hunt situation between the special board meeting to look at the due diligence on the 23rd and the end date, which would be at the beginning of June? Would you want, or could we, you want that just on one of the other agendas? Or would you like another special meeting? No?
No, I think we can do it on the 22nd.
22nd?
Yeah, we already have a 22nd meeting.
No, that's Sunday. Oh, June.
June 22nd, right?
I'm just, Ms. Searles, I know that you're concerned about this, and if you want to have an intermediate meeting between the 23rd of May, where we have the due diligence look, and the regular board meeting of the 22nd, the problem is we're gone.
All at that time.
Yeah.
And we're tired from the legal interviews.
And then we're leaving, is it the 8th that we're leaving, or is it the 9th?
Leaving on the 8th, coming back on the 11th.
Dr. Murphy, that's very nice, and I appreciate it. If we get the due diligence on the 17th.
You delivered on the 17th,
yeah.
The board main meeting is the 23rd.
And if I want to tear my hair out or anything and go, oh, Dr. Murphy, I've got to have a meeting. There's a lot of time in there after reading that we could adjust accordingly, though.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you, Sergio.
All right.
Because what that would mean is that on the regular board meeting on the 22nd, we'd probably be making a final decision.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So without an intermediate meeting between the 23rd of May and the 22nd of June regarding that subject. Is that okay?
Unless after reading the due diligence, it becomes, you know, just so obvious.
Well, if something comes up, we'll have to have a meeting.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, and I think I speak for everyone. Thank you for your service and your volunteer, and I appreciate it very much. I know it's very, very busy, especially you. She's grinning at me. So.
It's always busy this time of year. It's.
Last item, when is graduation? Heaven forbid.
June 4th.
June 4th.
Saturday.
8 p.m. They're going to start late, so it's cooler.
Yeah. The sun goes down.
Is it at the high school?
Mm-hmm.
Outside?
Yeah.
No wonder.
Okay, President, thank you very much, board members.
All right, anybody have any other comments? No? All right, thanks, Doc.
Did they get fireworks?
They did, 2009.
2 years ago.
They were crying to me that they didn't get any last year.
I know, the senior class put it up.
The class raised the money for it.
Yeah, the senior class raised the money for it. And they got the permits. They did it all themselves. They did it all themselves.
The incentive fund?
It wasn't the board deal.
Dr. Marcus, the principal's No, I don't think anybody did that to you. We like a good time.
All right, that takes care of agenda item 3C. I guess for the May board meeting, Tony, or the June board meeting, either one. If you could get the information from our principal at Davenport to bring us the information on the teacher that died.
Right, we can do that on May 19th.
Okay.
Have a moment of silence as we
yes,
start.
And
it may be a little biography.
A little biography or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
June the 4th, fireworks display?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In central office?
No, the graduation.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, that's it. Next agenda item.
Item 2 is executive session, and the time is now 6:50.
Through the chair.
Can we do it 8 and then go
to... You guys want to do the...
Yeah.
You want to approve the...
you want to take up agenda item
yeah, that way we get
3A
it
first?
Out of the way and then
sure, that's fine. All right.
Item 3A, consider proposed audit plan for internal auditor.
Ms. Hidalgo, good evening.
Good evening. President Cornell, board members, Dr. Murphy. I assume that you all got a copy of the draft audit plan?
Yes.
And I assume you all had a chance to review the pressure letter?
Yes, I've had a chance to review it.
Okay, there's my intent, unless you inform me otherwise, is really to focus on the actual content of the plan itself as opposed to kind of the other detail that was provided as a supplement.
Okay.
And in the course of preparing this information and the plan itself, there were a number of sources that we looked at.
Cielo, could you put the microphone closer up to you there?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. First is the audit plan that was put together by Martha Carrasco, the former internal auditor for the original 2010-11 school year. We also took a look at, for example, prior audit plans for the last 5 years. We looked at actual audit activity, and we also looked at some of the compliance hotline activities, really just to kind of get a feel for, okay, what are some of the current issues and that type of thing. In addition, we also looked at the IAA standards. And as y'all are aware of, the internal audit function of CISD operates according to the charter in accordance with the IAA standards and IAA, the Institute of Internal Auditors. They have an international set of professional practices that dictate how internal audit functions are to operate. And so some of the information that's provided in the plan that I've provided you does specifically call out standards that relate to the body of work that we've included in the plan. Okay? So based on that, I'd like to direct your attention to page 7 of the draft.
You know what I was thinking, Stephen?
Yes.
If I might, Mr. Chair, I was thinking that when I had read, I thought it was the compliance calendar. That's what I thought. And I thought other people were here for the compliance calendar.
No.
So,
no.
I mean, we can go into executive session. I thought it was the compliance calendar, and I thought people were waiting, so I thought we
would. Yeah.
If I may, my understanding is that the compliance report will be at the finance and audit committee report, which I think is
right at the finance committee.
Yeah, and that's what I thought it was. So that's why I was.
Okay. Well, we're already on this agenda item, so let's go ahead and go through it.
So what I've done, and as it's listed in the document, there are a few pages, and there's about 15 different sections that there are some different bodies of work. Section 1 really relates to what I'm calling risk-based audits. These are audits that a number of them are carry over from the actual audit plan that the formal internal auditor identified, as well as some revisions to that. One is the transportation's operations audit. Again, there was an original audit done back in 06, 07. There were a number of items out of that body of work. We've got a number of findings that are still outstanding that require follow-up. There have been some concerns raised to areas within the transportation area, so really just from a risk-based standpoint, that audit still requires attention from our perspective. Next audit down is the team's general IT controls audit, and what that would do is really wait until we've implemented or completed the implementation of the team system, range portion of the finance module. And what that is really kind of after we're up and running on Teams, come in and do general controls IT review, which is going to encompass things like security, who's got access to the system, what access they have within the system. We're also kind of looking at some of the security issues related to the supporting infrastructure, the database servers, that type of thing. We're also going to be looking at change management, how changes to the system are going to be implemented. And we'd also be looking at what we call data center operations. There's some risks associated with where the physical computing hardware is housed. And so there's a number of projects that are currently ongoing related to Teams implementation, upgrading of the hardware, as well as kind of the data center expansion project and time-wise, in the appendix, the very last appendix, provides the plan as well as a schedule of when we might actually be executing these bodies of work, and right now we're starting that work for no earlier than January, February next year. Next item down is 501 audit. What that is, that's actually a carryover item from the prior plan. And last fiscal year, TEA's Division of Financial Audits came in. The reason they came in was based on the grants they received, but they basically came in and did an audit of the administration of federal grants, specifically Title I and II. Part of the recommendations that came out of that audit was for our audit plan to include an audit of Title I. And so given the length of vacancy of the internal audit position, we felt that it was absolutely necessary to make sure that we keep that particular project on the plan and execute it. Within this next 14-month period. The remainder of items on that risk-based audit section are not anticipated to get done this year. However, I would point your attention to item 1.4, which is the governance and risk management audit. What that one is really, given the amount of change that this district has gone through in the last couple of years, given the amount of turnover that's happened within not just in administration, but within the board, given the budget crisis that we've faced, and depending on other changes that may occur within the next couple of weeks, this is really an audit that is going to focus on answering the question, is this district structured correctly to foster growth? I think overall, you know, everybody's on the same goal in terms of we know that this district is going to grow. What we want to do is look and see, okay, what are the structures that are in place? What are the communication mechanisms? Are they effective? That kind of thing. We also want to look at how are we managing risk relative to the operations and our strategic goals. And so this is really a more holistic type project. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to have time to do it this year, but I would strongly recommend, if at all possible, that we put it on next year's plan. Okay. Items 1.5 through 1.7 are carryovers, but again, not enough time, so we're going to leave them there because they are items for future consideration, but we're just not going to get them done.
Mr. Chair?
Sir Rodriguez.
On the, you're on page 15, which is page 7, right?
Yeah, you're looking at those.
Yeah. You have the scheduled start date, FY12, mm-hmm. and the scheduled finish, FY12. Are you talking about next fiscal year, or are you talking about?
For which item specifically?
For all three.
For the first 3 items?
Because we're on
2011,
right?
I'm sorry, clarify again, which item are you talking about?
We're on 1.1, 1.2, 1.3.
Yes. Well, we're basically, at this point, we're slated to start them between July and June of this coming fiscal year. 2011, 2012.
So you're calling it 2012?
Yes. Because
you're calling the fiscal year 2012?
Yes, and it's 2011-2012.
Okay. Because I thought you were looking at next year, January, so the 12th.
Well, January 2012 still falls within fiscal year 12.
Yeah, but you're going by the fiscal year, not by the calendar year.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. That's it for information.
All right.
Next section down is the compliance-based audits, and this section here really relates to activities that although they may be risk-based in terms of their content, they're really more specific towards making sure that this district is in compliance with regulatory requirements. First audit that's out there is a procurement cycle audit, and this one is specifically geared towards some of the purchasing and accounts payable and receiving activities. Through the course of the board meetings that I've attended, through the course of other discussions, for example, we've got the after-the-tax review, some of those types of activities going on. What I'm proposing is this audit really try to address, in general terms, compliance of district activities with our existing policies, both via TEA and CISD level. It can also help focus in on potentials for structuring, which I believe is one of the concerns that I've heard the board mention a number of times. There's also opportunities there to possibly identify opportunities to chase after better pricing, which is kind of another aspect that I've heard the board involved in. So those are some of the types of activities that can be looked at there. And really kind of on a go-forward basis. The next page, page 8, the next compliance type audit is a comp time audit. And again, comp time activity was an activity that was on the previous plan. In a number of different areas that you're going to see, the whole notion of reviewing comps, I mean, again, there's a financial impact associated with this particular body of work, and we really want to kind of, rather than continuing the monthly reviews, we really want to kind of take a more focused review in terms of, okay, what's going on right now, and what is the bigger picture associated with that. There's also some related items relative to the current team's implementation and the reestablishment of the regular comp time report as well, so that gets back into that as well. Again, the remaining items on that session, unfortunately, we'll not have time to get to this year, but I would strongly suggest that we consider them going forward. The ADA facilities and the non-discrimination statement are direct, coming directly off of the recent TEA-CTE-PAR audit that we just had. We're not having any facilities reviews coming out of that audit. In fact, we've fared quite well. However, we do recognize not all of our facilities were reviewed, specifically the elementary facilities. And to my knowledge, they have never been reviewed at all. And so it's kind of good food for thought for the future so that we can kind of keep there as a reminder, and as time allows, we'll get to it. The non-discrimination statement audit, that is actually something that we do anticipate getting the funding. And so again, on a go-forward basis, it's something that we will need to address. And from an audit perspective, at a minimum, it's something that we can maybe do on a rotating basis, you know, select a few departments, campuses, what have you, and kind of take a look at that. So we're always kind of keeping that in the forefront. Next section down relates to a direct request from either the Board of Trustees or the CISD administration. We've got three items at this point in time. One is the textbook inventory audit. In early conversations with Dr. Murphy, there was some concern related to that. And we also know that the warehouse supervisor will be conducting the textbook inventory audit coming in June, July. And so our plan is to kind of join forces and kind of take a look at that area there. Transportation charges, again, there was a request made there from one of the campus principals. And again, the plan there is rather than doing a separate effort, assuming that you approve the plan to do the transportation audit, we would then consider including that in the scope of the audit. Comp time report, same thing. It would relate back to the comp time audit that we already proposed above. Next section down is special investigations. This body of work really represents what we need to do on a regular basis to maintain the hotline, as well as respond to all the different calls that we get. The list of calls there from item 42 all the way to 14 are the current open and active calls that we have. And there's no hours assigned to those because each call is unique. Each call depends on the nature of the call. Quite frankly, it depends on the amount of information that's provided in the call as to whether, you know, what action we can take and whether or not, you know, how quickly we can act. Next section down is follow-up audits. This really relates to our following up on findings from either previous internal audits or previous external audits. A number of the items that you see here, and I'm going to skip over item 5.2, but a number of the items that you see here are going to actually show up on the compliance report that we're going to talk about at the next audit committee meeting. A number of them, based on my understanding at the moment, I think four of them are already done. Those are the ones that reflect 0 hours. The other items either relate to transportation or textbook inventory type things, and again, we're going to kind of filter that back into those prior audits. So we're trying to consolidate as much of the bodies of work into one common area as possible.
I have a question.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Going back to the special investigations and the hotline, you said that there's ongoing, so none of them have been closed?
These are all new as of February this year.
None of them have been closed?
No, ma'am. And the reason for that is a number of them have presented a fairly broad statement or concern. And what the process is basically, we pose some additional questions to clarify or gain more direction. And there's a matter of waiting period as to whether or not the reporter will then follow up. Because with limited information, there's really only so much that we can do.
Through the chair.
Doc.
Diana, you were sharing with me in our meeting today, an example would be someone calling saying the morale is low at our campus.
Yes.
And that's kind of hard to close.
Yes.
So what do you do in that type of situation?
What we do, when we get, number one, I get notified as soon as the call is made via email, loudly service. And within a day of the call, right, basically look at the report, see what information is provided, and he'll post an immediate response then and there to ask for additional information. I can tell you that the majority of the, I probably say all of these, were fairly broad in the initial report. Some folks have come back and provided additional information, and we then have work in process, but none of them are at the point of actually being closed. The items that, many of these items are still awaiting additional information from the reporter in a number of cases, as is the history of the last year's reports, sometimes the reporters just don't come back. And so we've got a broad allegation that we really are unable to take any specific action on. We'll leave that report open for a period of time, maybe a couple of months. And then at that point, if the report never comes back, there's really not a whole lot that we can do, and we'll kind of hold it within a given time period. We are flexible to discussing how much time we should wait, but at this point, I venture to say probably no more than a couple of months.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
On some of these projects that you've been naming, especially on the 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, and so on, have you gotten any input from any of the board?
On 1.1, we have. On 2.2.
Have you communicated with the board? Or,
it's related. It's related to either calls that I've received, questions from specific board members.
So, a lot, because the statement I heard earlier is something that you're proposing. I guess it's something, because I have some concerns as well, and I guess that's when we'll discuss that later. But I was just concerned or trying to clarify if this was what you're proposing, or is this what you're looking at, and then you're going to get our feedback as well.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. What this graph shows is these are the requests that I've received to date. There are additional ones, and we do recognize that this document is a living document, and going forward, there will be additions to this based on board-specific requests, based on administration's requests, and those will need to kind of get
there. Because I have communicated something that's not on here, so I guess we'll talk about that later, but you could go ahead.
And I have another one.
Mrs. Contreras.
On the 2.3 and the 2.4, you indicated, and correct me if I'm wrong, ADA facilities audit and the non-discrimination statement audit. That's rolled forward from.
No, those two are brand new, and they're coming straight off of the recent TEA career technology audit that we just went through at the end of March. We anticipate one finding specific to the non-discrimination statement, mm-hmm. and so therefore that's the reason why that one's on the plan. Mm-hmm. The ADA is on the plan because of the fact that even though we fared very well on the facilities portion of the review, we do know that not all of our facilities have been reviewed. None of our elementary facilities have been reviewed for ADA compliance. And even if TEA hasn't looked at them, that does not let CISD off the hook from them.
And we haven't received those official results yet from TEA. She's just anticipating because they told us specifically that those two were going to be findings. But we haven't actually received them.
And I can tell you that I think in 05-06, the first time that TEA came around, they did a similar review. There were a number of facilities findings then. Those items have since been cleared, but ADA compliance, from my sense, is it is a significant item from the TEA's perspective. And if we fall out of compliance, it's enough to trigger them to come back.
Well, and I understand everything you explained. My concern now is that you don't have a schedule start, schedule finish, which is okay to a certain extent. But you're picking up some projects that you're here at the board meetings that no one has assigned to you.
Right now, there's no hours assigned to those particular items.
Exactly.
And the reason for that is that based on the current hours that are available, there's no time in the current audit plan because all that time is taken up by all these other projects that we're talking about. I've got them on the plan as kind of ticklers just to kind of present a broader scope for these are areas that we might want to kind of consider going forward. Possibly, if we're not able to, I don't anticipate we're going to get to them in fiscal year 12. Possibly, we may be able to get them in fiscal year 13. Associated with those two items, there's some informal recommendations that we did make to administration, really just to start having those discussions and building the awareness. And so that's only as close times are on the plan, but at this point in time, there are no hours in the during the 6 weeks.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Rodriguez.
Just one quick question, going back to the same question, sort of, is, you know, like I, on 3.1, 3.2, you're talking about putting on the back burner, is that correct?
3.1, 3.2? No.
Correct. 3.1, 3. What were you saying that we're going to be waiting? That you're going to put certain other. 2.3 and 2.4. Was it? I had
the
heard
ADA and the non-discrimination.
I had heard some comments where you had stated where you're going to put some of those in the future and look at and stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, those crimes, 2.3 and 2.4. You notice again, there are no hours allocated to those projects, so those are not projects that we anticipate doing during these next 14 months. But we've got them, and if you notice at the top, these are projects that are strongly advised by our office to be conducted. However, there are insufficient hours in this current fiscal year to actually deal with activities. So I just want to bring it to light so that it's something that we're going to consider when we do next year's audit plan, assuming that there are no significant changes. We would consider looking at that. And then again, this is a proposed body of work still required. This is what I'm thinking that we need to focus on resources.
And I guess, how did you justify or how did you categorize some of these projects?
ADA non-discrimination to the district's requirement to comply with TA regulations, the ADA Act.
And I guess where I'm going back, was there some feedback from either administration or the individual board members who we haven't met? But to actually...
On those two specific items, no, because they're more compliance-based activities. Regardless of what we do, the district is required to comply with these based on federal law, state law, and in some instances as well. And so I'm raising it from a risk-based standpoint that if we fail to comply and follow out of compliance in these areas, that's going to present the rest of the district. And so I'm making the proposal.
Do you have a copy of the audit plan that was in place? What projects have been finished? What has been opened or
For the 2010-2011 plan, if you remember, that started from September 2010 and ran all the way through August 2011. September 2010 is when the former internal auditor assumed duties as executive director over HR. And so between that time and until the time I got hired, which was late February, there was no activity, no progress made on the work.
So no, I understand that, but looking at the past audit plan and what was actually in place, what was completed, what was open, and what was ongoing paperwork, which hadn't been closed, and what hadn't been done, I wanted to see that.
Are you talking about findings or audits?
No, I'm talking about the whole audit plan. What if there was
is it the audit plan
time or whatever it was?
The items that were on the prior audit plan was item 1.1, transportation operations audit. That didn't get started. Title 1 audit, which is item 1.3, that was also on the prior plan, that did not get started. PIMS data integrity audit, which is item 1.5, item 1.6, career technology audit, item 1.7, health benefits reconciliation. Those are all items that were on the prior audit plan. My understanding, none of those got started. And the other items that were on the plan related to quarterly or monthly desktop audits for after the fact and quarterly desktop audits for comp time. And again, those two are factored into the item 2.1 procurement cycle audit and item 2.2 comp time.
Mr.
Clark.
Ms. Contreras.
You see, and this is what's strange right now, that you're saying that there's a lot of projects that were not started and you're picking up new projects right now.
And the only projects that we're suggesting at this point is item 1.2, the team's general control audit, and in section 3, textbook inventory audit, because the other items on that, item 3.2 and item 3.3, if you see the note that says item 1.1 and 2.2, those relate back to the existing bodies of work.
which is good to a certain extent, but there's a lot still pending projects from previous years. But there's a lot of them that you're picking up on your own.
I disagree. The only one that I'm picking up on my own, and again, I'm making a recommendation that we take this body of work, is item 1.2, which is an IT security review specific to the team system. And the textbook inventory audit. Those are the only two projects that have actual hours assigned to them. The other items that are listed are really just food for thought going forward in the future. But you'll notice none of them have actual assigned hours.
And then there's the two that we know are going to be required from the state when the audit comes in.
I guess, Mr. Chair, am I?
Yes.
My thing is I'm trying to actually analyze what was in the past and what we're currently working on. And it's two different formats that I have, and so I don't have knowledge of what was in the past. I know some of the stuff that looks familiar, but I don't know what is familiar, and that's why I was asking.
If you will, item 1.1, make a note, that was on the project.
Yeah, I made that note.
Item 1.3.
Okay.
Item 1.5, 1.6, 1.7. Item 2.1, item 2.2. And the only other thing that was on the prior audit plan were buckets of time allocated to administrative or unscheduled items. And that was really the extent of detail provided in the prior plan. My rationale for providing additional detail is so that you could really, again, understand the breadth of activities that fall in this particular office. Because quite frankly, we've got limited resources like many other departments, and any additional request, even something, you know, as simple as a hotline call, could trigger a bigger, broader investigation that will have an impact on part of the process. And part of the thing that we need to work at is establish a process for how do we escalate these things in the event that we do have competing priorities. Because again, this plan is not set in stone. It's a living document. It needs to be flexible. There may be instances where we initiate an activity, but based on other risks or other requests, we may need to put something on hold, defer to
later. And I understand that. The thing is, okay, so these are the projects that were never, you're saying that were never...
These are the projects that were on the plan 2010-2011 because of the transfer of the interim auditor, the promotion she received to executive director. Basically, at the point of the start of the plan period, September 2010, that's when she moved.
They were never completed.
They were never started.
They were never started.
Yes.
Okay. And was there anything started that had been completed?
Not to my knowledge. Other than things like compliance hotline calls, there were, throughout the course of the year, there were a number of communications that the former auditor kind of communicated, but not in the context of a formal audit. And all of those activities fall under consulting type activities, and a number of those are completed. I can provide you more detailed information on those if you'd like.
That's good for right now, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Going down to page 9. Okay, the next section or body of work relates to really the internal auditor's attendance at various meetings, everything from board meetings to committee meetings. Cabinet meetings, district leadership meetings, and it's really my purpose for attending these meetings is to provide information as requested, but also to glean information to see if there's anything that may have an impact on current audit activities.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Just on the cabinet, Dr. Murphy, are we including our internal auditor in the cabinet?
Not at this time.
Ms. Hidalgo and I have discussed that, and Ms. Hidalgo desires to remain independent of the cabinet.
At this point, what the, our understanding is that as I need to bring things up to cabinet, I basically go and speak with Dr. Murphy so that I can get space on the agenda. And likewise, if there's items that require my input or my knowledge, Dr. Murphy has agreed to include me on those items.
Just my perspective, I think it might be effective.
Another thing, if I may add, earlier today, Dr. Murphy and I just discussed setting up a bi-weekly meeting, kind of a one-on-one, if you will, to where you basically kind of meet one-on-one on person and get up to speed on her things. My reason and rationale for not participating as a regular member of the cabinet meeting is, number one, I really do believe that the superintendent needs to have the opportunity to meet with his direct reports without the presence of anybody else. Number two, at this point, and if the need changes, we will certainly address it on a go-forward basis, but at this point, it's part of establishing a working relationship, and at this point, I'm very comfortable with being able to, if I need to get some of the cabinet members' time, I'm very comfortable, and so far, I actually have done it on at least two occasions. Dr. Murphy is very amenable to allow me the time that I need, and so is cabinet, so I don't feel the need to press that.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Go ahead and continue. Ms.
Next section down relates to consulting, and again, as it relates to the standards required for the profession, consulting work really constitutes a lot of the ad hoc or informal requests for things like new processes being proposed, that type of thing. Sometimes they're in the context of an audit, sometimes a formal project, sometimes they're not. To date, these are some of the areas that we're actually consulting on. One item being the team's implementation. As I mentioned earlier, there's a number of different efforts going on. We're sitting in on the project status meetings. We're kind of lending our expertise and lending some advice to that effort and just kind of keeping tabs on progress being made there. The next one down, IT acquisition and deployment process, that really has to do with the broader process of how we actually introduce and acquire technology within the district. On a best practices level, that is something that should be managed in part centrally, maybe in part decentrally, kind of really to be seen, but it's really the notion that says, on a holistic level, what is the technology platform that district is going to adopt? Before we acquire new pieces of software or hardware, we really do need to consider compatibility, we need to consider cost effectiveness. You could very well have a situation where you have multiple departments requiring the same type of functionality. Each one goes out and buys a separate piece of software. Well, they may or may not be compatible, but that's also not cost effective for the district. And so those are some of the considerations that are being.
Mr. Chair, with regards to that, isn't there already stuff in place regarding software and implementing and making sure we have the needs? Isn't there like a committee or something like that already in place? And what is your role?
My understanding from the IT folks that I spoke with, they basically came to me, presented me with a draft process flow to introduce this very process. My role at this point has been to look at it, give them feedback. From my prior organization, they actually were in a very similar boat, and so I've actually been able to get some of their policy information, some of their procedure information, some of their structuring information so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel in this area. So I'm facilitating the communication, I'm providing the honor perspective, and that's about it so far.
Okay. Sorry.
Next item down has to do with booster clubs. Yes, ma'am.
I have one question. I noticed that you have the booster clubs. Will that include fundraisers? I know that this is only a consulting time. Your role would be a consulting type.
At this point, the specific nature of that effort is TBD. The reason that the booster club is on the consulting area is that my office recently received an application packet for a booster club for the high school football team. And part of the issue and part of the question and effort there is, number one, whether or not the internal audit office has any jurisdiction over that. Based on the current internal audit charter as it's defined today, our office can only operate over things that fall under the district operations. My understanding is booster club is outside of the district operation. So we kind of have to go through an effort to answer that question first. If it is the board's intent that I do look into this matter further, we may ultimately need to revise the current internal audit charter to expand the scope of the authority of its office. Some of the other matters related to that is, what is audit's role relative to booster clubs? Former internal auditor, during a number of fundraising concerns, there was a lot of fundraising activity going on in prior years. Former internal auditor created or developed a booster club operating manual. And at this point, there's a question asked, okay, well, is audit's role to review or approve applications? Because again, going back to the current internal audit charter, my office does not have the authority to approve anything outside of activities that are specific to my office. And so those are some of the things that we need to kind of get addressed related to that. Assuming that those changes are made, however, and if it is the board's desire that my office kind of take a look at that, we could potentially and you know, absolutely consider including not only booster clubs, but fundraising activities as well. And on the suggestion, if you want to elevate that to kind of a specific board request and make it a formal project as opposed to a consulting project, that can absolutely be considered as well.
Just one more question, Ms. Hidalgo. To your knowledge, do we have booster clubs?
To my knowledge, this is the first one that has come back in a long time. Previously, my understanding from the former auditor is that a number of the fundraising activities were resolved once the booster club operating manual took in effect, because it lists a number of different requirements that are required to for an organization to be considered or deemed unofficial booster club. This is the first packet that we've received that appears to kind of have a lot that requires a structure. And so this will be new territory.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
Next section down is external audit coordination. Again, as you know, one of the other activities that this office does is really kind of work with any external audit agencies. At this point, in the either early June or early July timeframe, we're anticipating getting the report back from TEA in regard to the recent audit that was done. There's some time-sensitive action on our part. Within 10 days of receiving that report, we need to acknowledge the report was received. Within 45 days of that, we need to provide a response to TEA in terms of what are we going to plan to address the findings. And I believe within 90 days of that, the intent has to be to resolve those findings. And so there's some specific action related to that. And then the next item down is just the annual financial statement that the GRP will be doing. I think we have an entrance meeting scheduled for the first week of June. And to my knowledge, at this point in time, I'm not aware of any other external audit activities. But going back to page 8, item 5.2, there's an item called fire finding discovery. And I place that as a recommended activity because given the amount of time that the position was vacant, I feel it only appropriate to do some investigation and figure out did we have any other external audit activity happen during that period, in which case there may be potentially other items that we need to follow up on. And so that's what that activity is. Next item down is internal audit planning. On an annual basis, our office is required to put together a plan similar to this document. The regular audit planning is encompassed in items 9.1 and 9.2. Items 9.3 and 4, again, are suggested. Ideally, what I'd like to do, don't believe we're going to be able to do it this year, but possibly next year, is really do a broader-based, more holistic, strategic risk assessment of district operations, and it's really kind of point in time. It's recommended that we do this type of activity every 3 to 5 years, really just to kind of say, okay, what are the things that we really should be focused on? On a year-to-year, you really don't get too much change, but this bigger, broader effort really involves having more direct conversation other than just with the board, other than just with the superintendent. It starts drilling down to the executive directors, to line management, to principals, to teachers, and really kind of touching as many people as we can to get a sense for what the rest of the district is facing. Okay? Questions?
Anybody?
Internal audit reporting is the next section, and again, as you all know, on a monthly basis, I do provide a summary report of what we've been doing for the course of the month. And on an annual basis, I will be providing, going forward, an annual report of the activities for the year. Internal audit governance, this really has to do with making sure that my office is run in accordance with the reporting standards. If you look at the current internal audit charter, I'm required to review the internal audit charter on an annual basis and submit it for approval. Because this is an entry year for myself, I would also like to take a look at the audit committee charter and really have some discussion with the audit committee, just to make sure that, you know, there isn't any need to make any changes. Internal audit policies and procedures. For example, there's a process related to, for board trustee and CIC administration request, there's a matter of agreeing on the process so that, for example, if I get a request from a principal at high school, is that something that maybe should go through the superintendent? And that's actually something that, that Dr. Murphy and I spoke about earlier in terms of, okay, well, what is the process that's going to be followed to escalate matters to the point of actually taking action? We get a number of calls, but it may not be appropriate for our office to act on them. The other two items, internal audit quality assessment review, internal and external, again, that is a body of work that is required by our professional standards. The first activity is really doing an internal assessment of how our office is operating. The other activity is really when the auditors get audited. And according to the standards, there's a recommendation to have that done every 5 years. To my knowledge, that's not happening as of yet for this office. Next section down is relates to training. You'll see there are absolutely no hours allocated to that. Again, part of the duties of this office, in addition to the conduct of audits, is really provide training relative to these things that we call internal control, to these things that we call fraud prevention techniques. Unfortunately, at this time, based on the available hours, I really don't see an opportunity to fit that into the plan this year, but that is something that I would, again, propose that we consider for next year. Next section down is internal auditor training. As part of being the internal auditor for the district, I am required to maintain the CIA certification, which is a certified internal auditor. I also do happen to hold the certified information systems auditor designation. Both of those items require a minimum of 40 hours a year. And so this section really embodies my intent to capture some local training that is really cost effective. There's a local auditor chapter in El Paso that provides some training. The Global Association on page 10, the IAA Global provides free monthly training, an hour at a shot. I'd like to take advantage of that. The Global ISAC, which is the Information Systems Audit and Control Association, that association also provides 3 hours of free training. You'll notice that there are no hours allocated to that because I plan to do that on my own. And then the final item on that is my attending the upcoming CASA-TASB convention. And that what that'll do is that'll give me the requisite internal auditor training as well as start broadening my breadth of knowledge relative to district operations. Okay. Internal audit administrative, that really, this section here really just reflects the day-to-day activity that any unit within this district needs to do. Okay. And then finally, the last section is based on my calendar. I am allotted 22 flex days, and that's my proposal for when those would be taken. I don't anticipate any sick leave, but that kind of is TBD at the moment. Jury duty, I will let you know that I did already get called once, that got canceled, and so I can almost guarantee that sometime within the next 14 months I will be recalled. And the last section is really just those. In the packet, I've also provided, in addition to the plan, in Appendix D is the Department Improvement Plan for the Internal Audit Department, and in the subsequent appendices, there's a budget for FY11 and a proposed budget for FY12, so that you can really allocate the same part of money to go on the way for yourself. And again, the last appendices there is really the detailed schedule that says these are the anticipated time frames within which you would plan to go forward and conduct these activities, assuming that the plan is approved. And my understanding is the purpose of this presentation is to share this information with you, absolutely take any, you know, take notes on any changes or considerations that you'd like us to work back into the plan. And then once we get it to a final state, then I would then come back and propose it in a final state for actual approval.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Hidalgo on the presentation? Anybody? I do have a couple questions, Ms. Hidalgo. We filed our audit plan with the state, and so are we, since we're, your proposal is, in, like I said, this is a work in progress, which is what we requested from you. What do you think that we, our priorities should be? And you've given us that, but my question then is, are we going to be in a situation that we need to answer to the state if our audit plan is not followed, even though we don't have the time remaining and dedicated to whatever was on the plan?
We may possibly be. We would need to resubmit this specifically to TEA because there was that one Title I audit, and that's part of the reason why I kept that one project on the plan.
Right.
And so the reality of the situation is we didn't have an auditor during the period of time, so we weren't able to do that audit. But we've kept the priority of that project, and we do plan to do it in the next coming year. And so
okay.
We can definitely provide TEA that explanation along with the approved plan with that project.
This is your recommendation that we follow this priority? Then.
This is my recommendation, yes, sir.
Okay.
With
all
the
right.
Understanding that it is subject to change.
Right, and I think the board needs to review these to make sure, and we can have it. I mean, our year is almost up. I think it's incumbent upon the board that we review these recommendations from our auditor, and if we want to somehow change the priority of some of these issues that were in this year's audit, that we make those known. Because we should report back to TEA about our new plan on how we're going to deal with this audit, because we've already filed this audit with TEA, and mm-hmm. we need to advise them that we haven't
made any progress on it,
and so I think we need to report. But before we do that, I think we need to decide what that submission is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at the board's...
And again, I would focus your attention to only the projects that I'm recommending are only the ones that have hours
assigned to them.
Anything that's got a zero, that's not part of the current year recommendation.
Okay. And the other issue is, have you allotted some hours for, you know, throughout the year, things will come up that we didn't anticipate. Are you allotting some...
That's built into Board of Trustee and administration requests. That's built into the consulting activity.
Okay.
Again, what this plan is really demonstrating is even if we go with projects that are currently allocated, all the hours are used up.
Right.
And so it's really a matter of the board needs to come back and advise me as to what their priorities are so that I can, you know, when those situations do arise, and they will, I have a sense for, okay, if these are the priorities that you've communicated to me, then I can take that into consideration and responding appropriately, either accepting the bodies of work that are being requested or not.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Board?
Mr. Chair, am I
Ms.
hearing...
Searles.
This is new to me. And what I'm hearing is in Section 3, you've got three subsections, which are textbook inventory, transportation, and comp time report. And those are what the previous board has said were important to them. That is what we filed the paper with TEA about.
Actually, no.
No.
Okay.
Those are current requests that have been come up, right?
This inventory audit is something related to a conversation that I had with Dr. Murphy early on.
Okay.
Coupled with the fact that the warehouse supervisor is going to be doing the textbook inventory audit in July. Transportation charges audit. That was a request from a principal of one of the campuses, but the intent there is to roll that body of work in with the transportation audit that we've got in the risk-based.
Yes, okay.
And then the contract report, that was a specific item requested by the board, and again, the intent is to roll that up with the contract audit in the risk-based section.
Okay, so what were the things that were on the report to TEA?
It's the title.
Okay, I've got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I did is when she gave them out, I put 11 beside each item that she...
I checked it out because it's been fired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which would be basically 1.1, 1.3, 1.5, 6, 7, 2.1, and 2.2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you. That helps.
Right. One time.
Did you ask me?
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we need to obviously discuss this as a board and put it on the next meeting. Tony? Yes. So the board can decide... go over these proposed priorities from our auditor that we, and then review and make any recommendations ourselves if we feel there's other priorities, because some of these requests were exactly from meetings between the internal auditor and the board on the priorities for the upcoming audit year, which was last year. And so I want to give deference to the board's priority issues. Every board member, if you feel there's something we really need to, then we'll need to make some requests for adjustments, and so we can discuss it at the next meeting. Mm-hmm. Because we really do need to get this report out to TEA that we are not going to be able to comply with it, and here's our plan as to what we're going to do about it. And we ought to do that within the next month or so, at least before the year's over, which we have about a month or so, right? So if we discuss it at the May meeting, I think we can then give direction to our auditor as to what we get that report done and sent out. Is that,
sure.
Is that, mm-hmm. All right.
Through the chair.
Dr. Murphy.
I just wanted to, historically on item 3.1, the textbook inventory audit, this is a problematic thing. Every year we pay thousands of dollars back to the state. It's something that the board is always concerned
yes.
about. It's something that was really big when I first arrived in the district, and so I asked Martha, and she very generously helped, even though it wasn't in her plan that year, and did a fantastic job. And I just really would request that we could use the internal audit function regarding this textbook inventory, because it's a thing every year, and all the help we can get would be greatly appreciated.
I agree, and especially in light of the fact that the state is considering getting rid of some of our textbook allocations. That is going to be even more important to us now that we maintain our books. I know that they're going to cut. I mean, that was one of their recommendations, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine that?
No.
Huh? Let you pay for your own books now. Hmm?
Guess the kids will take real good care of them.
So I agree that should be a priority because of what's looming from our state legislature about funds for the textbooks. So, all right. And you know, we also need to take a look at these in terms of what's coming up with our funding issues. And maybe that we might have a better idea after the 14th. Mm-hmm. So that we can plan, and maybe we need to spend our time on other critical areas that are going to deal with those issues that we're going to have if, in fact, we don't have those additional resources.
Yes.
That's going to hamper, actually, a lot of what our internal audit function is trying to do. So I think the 19th is probably a good time to review this, and so the board can take a look at this. And if there's anything else the board feels that there's a priority, obviously, bring those requests up. We can obviously discuss those.
I have to say that, I hate to rock the boat, but I really like what Patsy said about the booster clubs and fundraising. I have concerns over that myself. And from what Ms. Hidalgo is saying, to do something like that, A, there's not a lot of time. But B, even to do it, you have to change the charter.
Yes. my understanding
to reflect.
Right now, my office doesn't uh-huh. have the authority to operate on anything outside of district operations, and since booster clubs are removed, I basically need to be given permission to do that first.
Yeah, and I believe, and it's a good thing that we're that you'll be going to the was it September?
TASA,
because there's a lot of sessions on that. And so I think that the board needs to obviously give that direction to our auditor. There's a lot on that, and it's where we can get in trouble.
Yes.
Very, very easily. And so we do need to take a look at that. Those are issues, the fundraising within the district and all the, I guess, the accounts.
Gate receipts.
The accounts and all that, that it's definitely... you know, limited resources. We need to obviously take a look at this after, mm-hmm. after the 14th.
I would like to, you know, if there was a place to add something that maybe that could be an issue we look at.
Why don't the board then go through these issues or add others and bring your priority requests on and what we. Other guidance we need to give our auditor with respect to issues such as the booster clubs, fundraising, and other any other issues that the board wants to bring up so that we can properly amend our charter that we're in compliance with it. Okay. Anybody else? No? All right. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hidalgo.
Thank you.
That takes care of agenda item 3A. And now we will go into agenda item 2. And Tony, what is the time?
7:49
p.m. The board will take up agenda item 2. And Dr. Murphy, if you'll join us for a few minutes, and then Ms. Hidalgo will call you in, all right?
All right. Chairman, and dismiss the rest of the cabinet.
Yes, the rest of the cabinet.
And what?
Oh my God, I feel old, guys. I get up and my bones creak. I could see you guys. You guys all look like me back there.
Okay, I gave you the new numbers for that, just so check.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
And you're off tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to the president's breakfast.
Oh. Okay.
Then. All right. Okay, to see if I need any further.
Vanessa, thank you very much.
Thank you.